We'll get right into the Word of God today, and if you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to talk about the stone of help. That may not mean much to you right now, but I think it will. Pray it will. And 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. Let's notice the Word of God together. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. Verse 2, so it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart and put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Verse 7. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome by Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. The word Ebenezer here means stone of help, which I've entitled the message today. But let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word today, and I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding of the truth of your scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stone of help. Samuel was the last judge. If you go to the book of Judges, there are a lot of judges, but Samuel was the last judge of Israel, and he was a judge for about 20 years. And the people of Israel, they would drift to commit idolatry, and they would be absent from the blessing of the Lord. When they broke the first commandment, no other gods before me, then they would break all the other commandments, all the other nine commandments as well, because if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, then if they're out of love with God, then they wouldn't think anything about doing anything else. But when confronted with disaster, they begged Samuel, Samuel, would you pray? Because they knew that Samuel was a true man of God, knew how to get a hold of God, and they knew that real help had to come from God and not from the fake gods of the Amorites. Many times in Scripture, stones were set up as memorials of God's intervention in their lives. And so this stone called Ebenezer, stone of help, was set up to remind them how God would help them against the Philistines. It would remind them of God's faithfulness. It would remind them of God's love for them and God's power above all things. So this stone of help would be here, and that would remind them that God had come through for them against the Philistines. And even though they were fearful in battle against this mighty army, then they could depend on the Lord. And here they were threatened by their continual enemy, the Philistines. The Philistines were the most advanced military capabilities that day. I don't think they had nuclear weapons, but they were not developing them anyway. And push all that aside. But they were an advanced army, of their day, and they believe to have migrated from the island Crete, and they were settled on the coast of the Mediterranean in Israel on the Gaza Strip, and they were known as sea peoples. Okay? And so today, and their army was threatening, and they could seem to overcome anything. They had chariots of iron. They had developed iron and steel to the point where they could make weapons with them. And so the weapons in the hands of the Israelites were very limited. And but today there are threatening things like the Philistines. There are threatening things in our world that only God has an answer to. Man has no control over disease, nature, such as rain, snow, and hail. You've seen that. Man. And so we as God's people learn to pray and depend and trust and cry out to the Almighty God. You know, there's things about God that are beyond explanation, human explanation. Our mind is limited. God's knowledge is unlimited. God is all-powerful. And God is all-knowing. And God is all-present. I've met people that feel like they knew everything, but if you talk to them 5 minutes, you figure out they didn't. But God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows the thought and the intent of our heart before we even think something. God knows it. And you say, well, God can't know me that personally. Oh, yes, He does. He knows us. The Word of God discerns the thought and the intent of the heart. Amen. But today, Christ, we would call Him our stone of help. For there are powerful spiritual forces that can only be defeated by the army of God. But as we pray, the same God Samuel prayed to, there is victory for the child of God. And here Samuel set up the stone to continually remind Israel each time they would come by and see this stone here, they would know that it meant stone of help. Ebenezer, stone of help. And so we look today at the New Testament. We come forward to several books till we get into the New Testament. The book of Matthew, we find that Jesus began to reveal Himself and who He was. He was not just another prophet, not just a man with a great set of religious rules. He was a Son of God. But He began to reveal Himself. And Jesus asked the question, Matthew 16, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And we know that Peter, always the first to speak up, and he did at the right time this time, he says, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. We have a solid foundation to build our faith upon. God's not going to quit. Jesus is who He says He was. He was Son of Man in His humanity, but He is Son of God in His deity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one, three in one, but one true God in three persons. Praise the Lord. And so He is our stone of help today, so if you could think of it that way. And so let's look at a couple of things here. We find that Christ, the God, is a stone of faithfulness. Let's look at it from this point of view. In memory of God's faithfulness in the past, and the rock that we lean on is Christ. Amen. And Christ is the rock of our salvation. And if our faith is built upon Christ, it's built upon a solid foundation that's not going to change with age. Amen. But God is faithful. Do you know? I know you know. God is faithful. Amen. And He's the rock that we lean on. Amen. And we've heard various people say, this person in my family is my rock, meaning the one that they could trust that remained pretty much the same. But Jesus doesn't remain pretty much the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can lean on Him. We can put our faith and our trust in Him and know that He's not going to fail. He's not going to stop loving you. He's not going to stop caring for you. He's not going to change with age. He's old. He's eternal. And He eternally loves you. Praise the Lord. You just live for Him. Serve Him. Amen. So we know that God is a stone of faithfulness. And God is here to encourage you to press on no matter what. I look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. I mean, he went through trials and tribulations and things that, and people talk about trials and tribulations, but if you compare theirs and ours with Paul's, ours weren't very bad. He was beaten three times with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. God raised him up and he continued to preach. And from prison he writes, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so he says, "I may have been through a lot of things, but I'm keeping my eyes on Christ. God is faithful. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to keep on walking with Him. I want to be faithful to Him as He has been to me." Praise the Lord. So we know that God is a stone of faithfulness. And so the Bible tells us that Christ is the rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can build our faith upon. And Ephesians 2:19-22, "Therefore, brethren, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but if you're a child of God, you're fellow citizens with the household of God, the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the rock." Praise the Lord. "In whom the whole building," talking about the church here, "is fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple, in whom you are also being built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So that's what the church is to be, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. When we come to worship, we come to give thanks to God. We don't come to see how everybody appears and everybody meets our what we think they should be or what we think they should look like. Amen. God bless you if you do. You need God's help if you look at me. But anyway, but we come to worship God and be filled with God's Spirit. We come to experience God and be in God's presence to praise Him and give glory and honor to Him, for He's worthy. It's He that's coming back one day, not as a lamb, amen, not to be offered on a cross again, but He's coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords one day. Hallelujah, that's a God that we serve. But He's always with us. He's a God that is faithful. He will do what He said He would do. Also, we see here that God not only is a faithful God, but a God is a stone of endurance. And God has endured some things with you and me. Amen. I'll say it. So, amen. Okay. And here, the constant enemy of Israel was the Philistines. They were a powerful army, and they could do things that were awful. But they could defeat other peoples, and yet God would spare them. But Israel had a problem. They always went off back into idolatry. Some way or another, they were attracted to the gods, to the Baals and Ashtoreths, names of the deities of Canaan. And so they were tempted constantly not to trust in God and not to keep the first commandment, to have no other gods beside the one true God. And so God had to endure the times. And God would allow things to happen to them when they weren't following Him. When they were unfaithful to God, God would allow things to happen, like it would not rain, would be withheld from their crops, and they'd be defeated by their enemies. And God had a way of talking to people. God still has a way. And God allows things to happen sometimes to His people to pull them back and to push them in the correct direction so that they won't be lost, because God loves you. Amen. That's the reason He does what He does. Man, but if this people of Israel here, if they were depending on themselves, how could they defeat such an army as the Philistines? They must have something stable, secure, and unchanging. And they said, "Samuel, we know, let's go to Samuel. He's a man of God." They said, "We know he'll pray, and we know that he hears from God." He said, "I've tried all the other things, and I've tried all the other prayers, all the other gods, and none of them worked. So we'll go to Samuel. He's a man of God. He'll pray for us." In verse 8, it says, "So the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines.'" And so they said to Samuel, "We know that you can hear from God. We know that God listens when you pray. So would you pray?" And so he cried out to God. You know, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Praise God. So we knew that God was going to help them here, but God endured some idolatry and stuff that they had to repent of before. Man. And God, and Samuel had told him, if you'll return to the Lord with all your heart and put away your foreign gods and serve the Lord only, then things will be a lot better for you. Okay? So they had something, and so you and I today, we should never stop praying. I've never found a reason to quit praying. Man. And Samuel said, moreover, as for me, 12 and 23 of 1 Samuel says, more as for me, far it be for me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And Samuel considered it a sin not to pray for Israel. He said, but I will teach you the good and the right way. And in the New Testament, we have a verse that's hard to for some to understand, but it's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it says, pray without ceasing. And you say, well, I've prayed for this person for years, and I've endured seeing them go through things, and so I'm just not going to pray for them anymore. You know, if God wants to do something to them, then he'll just have to do it to them without me praying. My friend, you don't want to go there. You want to keep on praying. It doesn't mean that you don't have one continual prayer and you don't ever quit praying, but it just means that you don't cease praying for people and don't cease praying for you know things that are in the will of God. Never quit praying, my friend. Always pray instead, amen, of quit. Because God answers prayers as he did here. He's the same God, and he will answer you. Amen. You say, well, Samuel was a special prophet of God, a special judge of that day, and God just doesn't hear me like he hears Samuel. I want to tell you something. God hears everybody equally, and he hears the cry of people today. And I believe people are crying out to God today because they don't know where our country is headed, what direction it's headed, and whatever is in control of our country today, they're scared of it, scared of a new government. We just had President's Day. You can question whether you have a president or not. That's up to you. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, you just know that we know that God is in control, and we have to depend upon, we have to put our trust in him. Praise God. So he's a stone of endurance, pray without ceasing. When had God not been able to defeat their enemies? Never. And to bring about this victory against impossible odds. If they would turn to the only one true God there was and is, then they could have God's deliverance. Because you see, when people quit praying and communicating with God, things happen that show the absence of divine help. Only when they ceased to endure in trusting in God did awful things begin to happen to them. The Philistines seemed to be a people they could not come against because of their military power. And they had gone off and served other gods and made carved images and stuff that meant nothing. And when they cried out to the gods that they had substituted the true God for, then they found out that that God couldn't answer because he wasn't really a God anyway. But when they cried out to the one true God of Israel, then God could respond and did respond. Amen. And so, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us in the New Testament, church, and this will imply to all of us, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance. You don't have to pray, God, give me something I can endure. There's things that come in life that will require endurance without you having to pray for it. You need to pray for God's grace and God's strength to endure. Remember, Jesus endured the cross for you and I. He endured the shame, the spitting. He endured everything that could be said about anybody, as well as the torture that came with the cross. He endured because he loved you and he loved me. And he was not willing for us to fail, but he was willing for us to go forward. So he's the stone of endurance. If we move on, our Christ as our stone of help, he is a stone of stability. James 1:8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The word double-minded there can be translated two-faced. Somebody that appears to be one thing, but in fact they're another. But God is not two-faced, and mankind cannot be double-minded. We need to make up our mind. We're going to serve God. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be faithful to God no matter what. And as Samuel said, if you just put away everything else that's hindering your relationship with God, then God will respond to you. And maybe there's some things we need to put away in our life and say they're just not worth worrying about. Let's just go on and press on into God. Let's just pray through and get right with God, and things will start going right. That's true. So Christ is a stone of stability. Amen. And this stone that Samuel set up, it pointed to the unchangeableness of God, that God's power to deliver, provide, hadn't changed. God, if you read Deuteronomy 28, you'll find 27, 28, right in there, you'll find all the blessings and the curses. And my friend, if they served the Lord and lived for God and kept the Ten Commandments, the blessings were numerous. They couldn't lose if they followed God. Amen. They had the armies of Almighty God fighting for them. The spiritual forces that were behind all the Canaanite enemies, God would use spiritual forces to defeat their enemies. And God did in many ways. But when they would turn from God, why would you turn from a God that can do anything? You don't. You don't turn from God. But God is stable in all and is unchanging in all of His ways. His commandments haven't changed. Amen. His love for the nation hadn't changed. And many people, in many times, slip away and fall more, drop things. When you get old, you fall more. You drop things. You forget. You know, you believe in the hereafter. But if you go from one room to the next room, you forget what you were here after. Amen. Did that work? Okay. And so age happened, but age didn't happen to God. He is eternal. And God is not unstable, and God's not subject to do things differently or to slip because of age. And He loves you, and He cares for you. Amen. None of us are getting younger. In my own wisdom, I know that I'm a day older today than I was yesterday. Wasn't that wise? Anyway, I know you know that. But let me ask you this, is your love for God stable? Is your love for God unchanging? Is your trust ongoing? Is your commitment to let God rule your life, is it stable? Your commitment, is it stable? And our salvation is built upon who Jesus is. He is our stone of help. He helped when there was no other way. You think of all the things that God has brought you through, how He's been faithful to you time and again, when you've prayed and cried out to God and you didn't think there's no way this could change, it could happen to me, but God brought you through because He loved you and cared for you, even though your name wasn't 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. And He helped when there were no other means. When people failed you, God didn't fail you. And the many examples when Jesus stepped onto the scene, things change. My friend, let's keep Jesus on the scene. And He lives within you. He walks with you. He talks with you. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're indwelt by the Spirit. And also God can baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you more power that you can be an overcomer and be victorious. God never meant for you to be defeated and discouraged and depressed all the time and depress everybody around you. God intended for you to be victorious. Amen. Not arrogant in any way, but bold in the sense that we trust God, we live for God, and we lift God up and Christ up to other people as a way you need to go. Praise the Lord. There's one time that Jesus ran across a man, more than one time, but one that we'll deal with here in the book of Mark chapter 4, a demon-possessed man in Gadara. Nobody in town would have anything to do with him because he was demon-possessed. He was controlled by unclean spirits. He was controlled by a bunch of them, legion. And so he came to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he ran to him. And we know that this demon-possessed man, Jesus wasn't frightened or run away. But Jesus was always stable. He was a stone of stability. And when demonic spirits came along, Jesus didn't run and say, well, let me search through Scripture. Let me get my Thompson chain down and see if I can find what to do here. No, Jesus was the Word, is the Word. Amen. And so he knew what to do. And he is our stone of help. And he helped this demon-possessed man. He was completely delivered and set free by the power of God. And he was always, this demon-possessed man was always in the fields and in the tombs, cutting and crying out and cutting himself with the stones. He was a complete distraction of society. And nobody wanted to be around him because they knew that he'd been bound with chains many times and broke them off like a thread. And when Jesus came along, it was different. My friend, when we call out to God, Jesus is on the scene. Amen. He can deliver. He can set free. How many things? We don't even know how many things we've walked through that we don't even know about, where God's protecting hand was there to keep us and to help us survive car wrecks, accidents, whatever could have happened but didn't happen, because God has surrounded us with His divine protection. God, He was a stone that's stable. And so Jesus delivered this demon-possessed man, and he wanted to be with Jesus. He said, "Lord, I want to go wherever you go." Amen. And Jesus said, "You just return to your family and you just tell them what great things God has done for you." He changed from a demon-possessed man to a missionary at that time. And he went to Decapolis, which means 10 cities, and began to proclaim what God had did. And the people marveled at what God had done to this man, because they knew he had formerly had been controlled by evil spirits. He was no longer controlled by that, because he had come into contact with the stone of stability, with Christ. Amen. He is our rock. Amen. He is our stone of help. He's your stone of help. Amen. It wasn't just for biblical people. It just wasn't for the best, greatest people. It wasn't just for the pretty Christians that dressed right. It was for all people. He's a stone of help. Amen. Stone of stability. Stone of endurance. He's yours today. We can trust in Him. Our life is built upon Christ, a solid rock of foundation. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. We're the church of the living God, not because we built a building, not because we made it good, but because Christ is the center. And our focus today is upon Christ. Everybody needs to know Jesus. Our part is never cease to pray. The Lord, thus far, has the Lord helped us, He will never cease to be our stone of help. Praise God.